Bite the Big Apple, don't mind the maggots. Thank you, Mick Jagger. That would be from Shattered, the Stone Some Girl album of 1978. But no, the reason why I bring that up, speaking of maggots, I read the story this morning. It's really made for good breakfast copy. When we think of medieval friars, you think of like the Friar Tuck and all those guys,
medieval,
you know.
Medieval times.
Yeah. Okay. And you think of, you know, Robin Hood's Jolly Friar Tuck and all those other kind of stuff. And
the Providence Friars?
Yeah, you might think of that sort of thing. According to a study released this morning,
yeah,
Augustinian friars in medieval England were nearly twice as likely to suffer from intestinal parasites as other people. In other words, these medieval monks were riddled with worms.
Gross.
Yeah. Researchers from the University of Cambridge Department of Archaeology excavated the remains of 19 friars from the grounds of a former Augustinian friary in Cambridge, England. By comparing soil samples taken from around the pelvises of the friars and 25 townspeople of the low socioeconomic status from the same 12th to 14th century era, the researchers were able to compare the prevalence of parasites and said basically the friars were just riddled with worms. And the reason why, even though they had cleaner water, was that they used human feces to help their gardens grow. And so they didn't clean themselves.
I thought maybe they got way ahead of the path Lloyd and Harry were on in Dumb and Dumber and wanted to open up a worm store that specialized in worm farms.
Well, in this case, these guys specialized in having worms within their system.
I got worms, Snoop.
Yeah. All right.
Don't announce that.
They were going to name the store. I got
it
worms.
Just seemed like a natural progression to go from the worm story to Florida Man. Okay?
Yes. Are you itchy?
So we got two Florida Man stories.
That's like worms. There's a lot of other ailments I'd rather have than worms.
Are you dragging your bum?
You wouldn't want those, right? Yeah, absolutely. A Florida firefighter and paramedic down in Hillsborough County, Tampa.
Yes.
Is recovering after he became the center of his own emergency. J.C. LaVerde was shooting an instructional video for his company when he was attacked by a 12-foot alligator as he swam in Lake Thanatassa near Tampa. Drone video shot from overhead saw the alligator grab him around the head.
Oh!
And he said, when I felt the teeth, I immediately knew. And then as I opened it,
Joe Dirt style,
I knew that I either turned it or it turned me, but it was confused just as I was confused, and then it just let go. So it could have gotten him there. Okay, so he survived, had lots of cuts and stuff, but the other one, we have the story to report of the death of a Florida man. The reason why he's dead is, well, we have another Florida man with a machete. Okay, remember last week?
Was he naked?
He was not.
He was not, he was not naked.
Not, but was probably going in that direction. He was killed after he allegedly broke into a house and got into bed with a homeowner while carrying a machete.
Just like
it happened yesterday morning.
Rolled the covers back and took a nap or what?
Well, the homeowner was sleeping in an apartment connected to his home, so there was a man in the unit where he saw a man sharpening a machete with a baseball bat. And then he said, so he called police and said, I have an intruder that broke into my home. He's got a machete and he's a little whacked. When deputies arrived at the apartment, they found the suspect inside. The homeowner said that the intruder woke him up and said, I love you. And when he did that, I woke up on a mattress and there's a guy lying next to me saying, I love you. I weirded out. He's got my machete in his hand. Boy, thank God they got here quick. The dude with the machete hacked at a cop, cut him up, and then the cops finished off the dude with the machete. They got rid of him. He's done. So there it is. Whether you're naked or not, don't carry a machete there in Florida. It's happened 2 weeks in a row now. Up next, music survey. Mike Hardball Hards joins us for hour number two, Light the Tower on the Horn.
It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way, and Horns 24/7 insider, Jeff Howe, on your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
second hour of Light the Tower on the horn. Craig Wade, Jeff House, Snoop Daniel alongside. A little bit of cleanup from hour number one. Female listener number six says, check out an entry in the recent edition of AARP magazine. And it's great chicken places of the United States of America. And they got Charles Pan Fried Chicken in New York City.
Look at that.
Federal Donuts in Philadelphia. Also, Yoroshiku in Seattle. But right there on it.
Telling you, man.
Ishan's in Okarchee, Oklahoma.
Best yard bird I've ever had in my life.
You've been hearing me talk about it in the past. Ask only Rod Babers. He'll tell you. He'll tell you how great Ishan's Bar is in Okarchee, Oklahoma. So maybe, Jeff, maybe that has to be a return engagement this year before the Oklahoma State game.
Well, I mean, it's probably the last time I'm going to Stillwater, so yeah. Might as well.
He said that with such zest.
I don't feel near about Stillwater like I do about Manhattan.
Okay.
Easily my least favorite trip.
Okay. White Rapids Guru says, Jeff, the head of the Gerald Travel and Tourism Department, has tweeted out a message inviting all residents of Florence to a Gerald Kumbaya. Probably not going to be happening there.
No, not going to happen.
Yeah. All right. Somebody said, I've never been to a high school scrimmage as a spectator. I'm interested in going to see Westlake Cedar Park tonight. What time do they go? And to confirm, is it at Westlake? From a spectator point of view, will it appear similar? Okay. They said, will it appear similar to a regular game? Jordan, no.
No.
I mean, there will be moments when it looks like, but the way that most scrimmages work, they have the field split in half. And you've got one group, you have like freshmen against freshmen and sophomores against sophomores. And then even when they get the JVs and the varsity, there's some mixing and matching and all that. But they kind of have it split up almost like you're watching two half-court basketball
games. You might do a live quarter, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that.
You'll get some of that. But for a lot of it, it's looking like just a bunch of bodies out on the field running through scrimmaging and plays and practice, stuff like that. It will not. Don't think of it like an NFL preseason game, because it's not like that. Snoop, when you go to those, I mean, you kind of have to move around to get what you want to shoot.
Right? In fact, a famous Round Rock photographer, Henry Huey, and him were just trying to get different angles to where we could get a clear shot, because sometimes it's the coaches are on the field, like huddled up, like actually on the playing fields. It's
okay.
It's different.
Yeah, so it's a little bit different experience, but you'll get to see the teams out there. All right, speaking of scrimmages, a guy who did it, of course, is our special guest this hour, but he's no special guest to the radio station because he's one of ours. You hear him every afternoon on Ball Don't Lie alongside Rod Babers, the newest member of our regular permanent on-air staff is Mike Hardball Harge. Good to see you again.
You too. I'm excited to be in here. All this conversation that you guys are having is getting me ready for this afternoon show, but most importantly, is getting me ready for football season.
Well, and you participated in a scrimmage or two in your time.
I had a couple of them, but I never had that three-way scrimmage that y'all were talking about.
Yeah.
I've never had that happen.
It's not unheard of. It's not the most common thing in the world, but Jeff thought he was a part of one.
And I don't think I was, because now that I think about it, I think I want to say just our scrimmages. I was thinking it was in my freshman or sophomore year. I think we just scrimmaged Gerald and then just scrimmaged Granger, and those were our two scrimmages.
Yeah.
Okay.
Each one individually.
Did Brandon Everidge of Granger take you out at one point?
No, but I watched him almost kill a guy. Still just, I mean, oof.
Yeah.
I can still see the, like, going back and watching the VHS tape just rewinding over and over again.
A lot of purple on that field that night.
To see somebody just kind of fly, just get hit when by a guy from Granger, Texas that started on Oklahoma's national championship team at safety, about a 15-yard running start on some poor sap running a post route, and just see a body just flop like a dead fish. It was, oh, man.
Oh, man.
Well, I heard you talking about House Park as well, and one of the times that we came down from Killeen to play in Austin, we played against Austin High at House Park for a scrimmage.
Yeah.
And the quarterback during that time was Randall Schultz, who ended up going to Rice and being All-Syntex quarterback. He and I were on the All-Syntex team together. And now he's a physician in town and doing orthopedic surgeries.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So Mike Harge is here to do the music survey, our final music survey of the summer. Before that, however, we do have the latest installment of our Horn Top 20 Countdown.
When you put that uniform on, you better come to work.
It's the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Allstat Beer. No impurities, no regrets. Number six, the USC Trojans.
Okay, we're here to clear up any misconception. I know some folks got exercised when they heard this morning when Aaron Hogan and Johnny Rogers were on, saying, that's not the fight song, that's not the fight song. And Aaron at first said, yeah, it's the fight, it's a fight song, Trojan March, all that. First of all, nowhere in our bylaws, so to speak, does it say we're actually supposed to play the actual fight song of every team. It's just it's a toss-in. However, the texter is correct. It's not the actual fight song.
Nope.
This is the actual fight song. And we know this one. So, if that makes you feel better, there you go. That's the actual fight song. Believe me, I heard it a lot. Heard it a lot, not only in the national championship game, but even in the 2017 game.
Yes.
There at the LA Coliseum. I'm proud to say that. I was glad to say that not only have I had the opportunity, been blessed enough to call a national championship game in the Rose Bowl against USC, but also in the LA Coliseum, home of, when I was a kid, my favorite National Football League team, the Los Angeles Rams. They're still my favorite team, but they don't play there anymore. They play at SoFi. But
and the Dodgers called the Coliseum home for a minute.
They did. 1959 through 62, won a world championship in it.
Yep.
In
there
59,
you go.
58 through 62.
With a 900-foot distance.
Yeah, I was going to say to the outfield, I'm like, man, that is not a position where you got to run a bunch of double relays.
Mike, if you got up there just to get a 247 down the left field line,
my favorite,
with a 50 with a 50 foot screen up to try to block cheap home runs,
right?
And they had a guy by the name of Wally Moon, and he perfected almost being able to pop fly those home runs over the screen. They called them moonshots.
Yep.
And he was able to. Now it was 390 down the right field line.
Not so much.
Yeah.
That's where you find out if you got the wheels to get it inside the Parker.
There you go. USC, number six. Are you, I mean, I know it was an amalgam that it was put together, but obviously they're a major contender with Utah and even Oregon in the Pac-12.
We talk about them offensively with Caleb Williams, Lincoln Riley, getting Jordan Addison out of the portal, you know. They're going to score points. They're going to pile up yards. My question with USC is now going from Tyler Orlando to Alex Grinch on defense, and I think it's going to be, you know, I said this when he was at Oklahoma. If you look at Alex Grinch and look at Manny Diaz from a philosophical standpoint, they're actually pretty similar in terms of kind of what they believe, when their system is right, why it's so good, when there are flaws in it, when it's not being executed, where those flaws pop up and where you can attack them. So that, to me, is the big thing. I mean, USC got so bad. Even, I mean, you look, Drake London, they're still putting out high draft picks on offense, even when they're not good. Defensively, they've been awful. So that's the side of the ball where if they're going to be a contender in that Pac-12 South with, or not South because it's
just
don't have
one
division
now,
format,
right?
Or whatever.
No.
If they're going to roll with Utah, they've got to be better on defense.
Yeah, and like you said, we know the weapons that they're going to have on offense are quite prolific, and I know you've taken a close look at it.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, too. It's the Sark theory, right? All gas, no brakes. And I think that's what Lincoln Riley is looking at with all those weapons. I know I've got to outscore everybody, so I think we're capable of it with all the talent that they brought in. You talked about the wide receivers. Let's not forget about the running back that they brought in from Oregon.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to change the dynamic of what they're doing as well. And we've all can say that Lincoln Riley is probably one of the best play callers and game planners that we've ever seen. I mean, that's why the NFL was looking at him the way that they were. So I believe that this is okay to have them there because we all can see the talent that is sitting there. It's just a matter of executing it on the field.
Okay. All right, there it is. All right, number six team in the Horn Top 20 Countdown, USC.
By the way, Snoop, I don't know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I know the one local tie-in on that USC roster, Latrell McCutcheon from LBJ, was at Oklahoma, transferred to SC, so he'll be logging some time at corn. He's the only local product.
And there's one more.
Oh, there is one more?
His name is Lake McCree.
I forgot about Lake McCree. Yeah.
How about that?
One-time Texas commit.
And don't forget about Malcolm Epps is on that team as well.
Malcolm Epps.
Former Texas Longhorn. Xavier
Alford,
well.
Too, at safety.
Yeah. Yep. They got a lot of Texas people went west.
Yeah, that's true.
I forget how much they had. I forget. Mario Williams is another guy that followed Lincoln Riley from Norman to LA.
That's what I'm saying. So you're not that far off, guys.
All right. So there it is, our Horn Top 20 countdown. All right. Without further ado, it's time for our final installment of the Music Survey of the Summer, and Mike Hardball Harge here to do it. So for those of you who are unfamiliar with it, I always mention this. This is something we got from our friends at the Ticket in Dallas, George Dunham and Craig Miller, longtime friends of mine, and I heard it up there one day a couple of years ago and asked them about it, and they sent me the questions. It's a series of 11 questions ranging from, and it always starts with, band or artist, and then it'll be the rest of the question. So it's either a band or an artist, starting from band or artist I hate all the way up to the tail end, a great band or artist to see live. And one of the keys to the deal is you can only invoke the name of the band or artist one time. That usually is the rub that makes it difficult for folks to fill out the survey, because there's a lot of questions, or several anyway, that can be answered by the same one. So did that make it difficult for you?
It did right away, but I had listened to some of your other surveys as well, so I kind of started formulating my thoughts and trying to figure it out, and can I move this person and try to figure out where they fit in. But that's I think I figured it out pretty quickly.
Yeah, I would say this, just coming up here as we get ready to get this going here, that Harge's survey is probably as contemporary as any we've had. So just keep that in mind. All right, so the first question is band or artist I hate. Now, I always say hate's a strong word, but the way I define it is you hear that band or you hear that artist on the air, on the radio, and you instantly change the channel. So is that the case?
That is exactly the case right here.
So for Harge, it's Rick Astley.
Yeah.
So this take you back to, what, 1987 or
something? Yeah, and just sitting there, and I'm riding around, and I'm like, everybody loved this song so much. And then you see the video, because remember, there was videos back then.
Yeah.
And you're like, look at this guy, man. He's just swaying from side to side, and he's supposed to be it looks like he's a ladies' man in this video, but I don't see it as that. Yeah. So every time I hear this song, it just annoys me because it was played so much.
Yeah. So when the Rickroll became a thing for you, was that like, oh, yeah, see, this song was always a joke, and I knew it was a joke, or did that just anger you more because then you had to hear the song?
Because then I had to hear it more.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's why I turned the dial.
I always think of that
Thanks, Snoop.
I always think of that episode of Family Guy where they back in time, and Rick Astley's doing this, and all of a sudden you look to the side, and it's like they pull that Seth MacFarlane ripped this straight out of Back to the Future. He's on the phone, and he goes, "Hey Rick, this is your cousin Marvin Astley. Remember that sound you wanted that sounded like crap? Well, listen to this."
See, even he understood it right then too.
So there it is. Band or artist he hates is Rick Astley. All right, next is band or artist you think is overrated. Now, this goes like we've discovered over time. You know, it depends on your definition of overrated. And like for me, it was Guns N' Roses, and I just, you know, you'd hear it over and over, and I didn't like Axl Rose's voice. And who was it for you, Jeff? You're overrated.
Overrated was U2.
U2, overrated.
Well, you're going to love this one, brother.
And Snoop, who was your overrated choice? Your mic is not
on. Paula Abdul.
Yeah, Snoop. Yeah, Snoop, very, very fair with that.
But, like, your partner in the afternoon, Rod Babers, said Elvis.
Yeah, and he got a lot of grief for that.
He got a lot of grief. I have a feeling you're probably not going to get a lot of grief about Nickelback.
Yeah, and especially this video. Like, here it is again, another one of those songs that everybody's playing all the time, and you see people driving down the street with their radio turned up, and I'm like, have you actually listened to this song? It's like, it's not even a good song. Not only that, look at the video. He's holding up this photograph. Look at this photograph. Who am I looking at?
I'm not going to lie, because this probably came out my senior year of high school. That sounds right. I actually might have liked this song for about 2 weeks, but then the 975,000th time you heard
got worn
it,
out on
like,
it.
No more. Stop.
And I wonder, do they even, you know, because when they first came out, they were talking about sellout crowds and everybody wanting to go see. Do they even get sellout crowds anymore? Or did everybody realize that this was part of it?
I'm sure they got their fan base.
They probably do. You're right.
You know?
I'm not in it.
Listen. Air Supply has its fan base. I permanently am not one of those, see? As you know.
That's right.
I think hard for kids of the 2000s, for people that were like 17, 18, right around the time I was.
Yeah.
Nickelback is like what hair bands are. At the time, they were selling out stadiums, and now it's like, maybe see them play a club off the beaten path somewhere.
So it was between Nickelback and Poison for me.
Okay.
I grew up in that age where...
Speaking of hair bands.
Yeah, speaking of hair bands, where a lot of girls at my school were really into that, and then those were the guys that they really wanted to hang out with, too.
Wow. Okay.
So I was like, oh, my God, look at Poison.
somebody goes, please stop the Nickelback.
See?
And then somebody else, some people say they don't like Nickelback or just trying to be cool.
No, that's just not. If you listen to it, it's not good.
It's not good.
Somebody wanting to know, Harge, have you seen the Texas walk-on version of this?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what the, what's the?
Garrett Grass.
Yes.
They were walk-ons.
And that's the only reason why I liked it. Okay. Was because of that.
Okay. All right. So there's that. Now we're getting to the band or artist you feel is under
impromptu poison.
All right. The band or artist you feel is underappreciated.
Yeah. This artist is one of my favorite, and I don't think she gets a lot of love. Missy Elliott. She is one of the best performers, composers, engineers. She does it all. And when she gets on the microphone, she lets you know about it too. But nobody ever really talks about her. As a matter of fact, this was one of the songs, one of my walkout songs when I came up to bat.
Was it really?
Yeah. Yeah, when I was in Lubbock, I came up to this
video,
right here.
This video is wild.
Yes,
one of those
right.
Hype Williams videos with the fisheye lens and she's wearing the big trash bag.
Right. Yeah. And if you sit back and really go look at her catalog and see who she's been connected to, you'll be like, man, Missy is underrated.
When I was doing my underappreciated, I almost went with Timbaland.
Same group.
Yep.
See?
And I had Electric Light Orchestra, so you could see the relationship there. You know, that was an ELO there. By the way, somebody said Nickelback sold 50 million albums.
That's what they got. Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla Ice sold 10 million. Just because you sell a lot doesn't mean it's good.
Right, yeah, there you go. Okay, all right. So there you are. That's the first three questions of the music survey. We're about to get into the four that theoretically you could use the same band or artist for all four. Band or artist you love, band or artist you could listen to over and over, band or artist that made you fall in love with music, and band or artist that changed your life. We'll hear Mike Hardball Harge's answers to those coming up when we continue with the music survey here on Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Okay, here you go. There you go. Here's the other copy of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine to give away. Caller 20.
Ooh.
20. So those of you who are listening on the app or online saying, I can't get it because by the time you say caller number 3, by the time it gets to me, it's too late. 20. And Snoop's even going to let it ring a little bit just to give it enough time for you there. 20th caller at 512-447-3776 wins our final copy of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine to give away. 512-447-3776 to caller number 20 when we continue with Light the Tower on the Horn. This is Light the Tower on the Horn. Minute Work is not on Mike Harge's list. It was on the Colonels last week.
I did hear that.
Or he was considering Minute Work. That's right. I worked Minute Work concert in 1983. This is one of my favorite songs of theirs, is Overkill.
So, I like it.
Yeah. Do we have the winner of the, say, the 20th caller to the hotline?
Yep. I thought it was the famous David Garrett, but it's another David Garrett from Dripping Springs.
Okay, all right. No.
He's probably still famous.
Yeah, right. Exactly. No, our friend, engineer producer on Longhorn men's basketball games, David Garrett, up in Oklahoma, one-time voice of the Dallas Cowboys for 3 years. He is loving life. He's as a TV production, video production, and English teacher. in Morris, Oklahoma.
Wow.
Yeah. Teaching honors English. Is a degree in that. He's teaching honors English and television and radio production and just loving it.
That's
absolutely
awesome.
Living, as he says, living his best life. Absolutely loves it. All right, so we're continuing with the music survey. So now we get into the four questions that could theoretically be answered by the same band or artist, because it's band or artist I love, band or artist I listen to over and over, band or artist that made me fall in love with music, and band or artist that changed my life. Was it kind of difficult for you to rub on that because those four are similarly inclined?
And I was trying to figure out how I was going to get to all of them.
Yeah.
You know, because you try to mix them up and you try to figure out who goes in which space.
Mm-hmm.
But when you can say, who can you listen to all the time, and I definitely can do that. And who do I love? I can listen to them all the time, too. So
true.
It's been definitely one of that section right there was a little bit difficult, but I think I figured it out.
All right. So we start with band or artist you love, and that would be Scarface.
Yes. Scarface out of Houston, H-Town. Matter of fact, I'll be there this weekend.
Brad Jordan.
I got a chance to meet Scarface one time and have a conversation with him, and he's going through some health battles right now. But when I was a kid growing up, the Ghetto Boys were one of my favorite mm-hmm. groups growing up. But when I got a chance to listen to Scarface and hear his words and listen to his story, it reminded me a little bit of where I was born and raised. I'm from Killeen, Texas.
Yeah.
Jeff's been to Killeen, he understands it. It's not always the brightest city.
Yep.
There's a lot of bad that has happened there. But it
happens in a lot of military towns.
Definitely. And him being able to kind of keep me and my group sane, Scarface was the guy for us.
Now, did he take his stage name from the movie with Al Pacino?
That's a great question. I never got a chance to ask him that, but I think definitely the way he carries himself, he could definitely be that Al Pacino type of character.
And this tune is Mary Jane.
Mary Jane.
Yeah.
Okay. As you can imagine what it meant.
Yeah. Same thing that Paul McCartney meant
exactly.
And got to get you into my life.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, so that's band or artist. A band or artist you can listen to over and over. So this is somebody you can just whenever you turn it on, you can listen to.
Okay, so this is why I love this dude so much. He's got some off the field issues right now, which is why I was really hesitant to put him on this list because of his issues. But I talked to my wife about this, and she was like, "Mike, you listen to him. I did this at my birthday party, my 50th birthday party this year, and he too was someone that I walked up to the plate with. This was my beat every time I came up to the plate right there, too.
Mystical.
Yeah, don't look him up because he's got some issues right now. But if you go back and just listen to his
work.
He's going back, Snoop. He got another issue right now. He's got a new one. But for him, and here I go, because my mindset was I'm the man right here. Every time I stepped in the batter's box, so this is it right here.
Mystical, back in the day, really good weight room music.
Yes, and he was definitely, and he was a military brat, too. He was military, too.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Somebody said, I think Scarface is doing better after his kidney transplant, which his son donated to him.
Yeah, his son donated it to him. Yeah.
Mystical's in a situation.
Yeah, definitely situation.
The Colonel, Craig Flowers, says he's loving your survey right
Thank
now.
You.
Listening to that.
Thank you, Colonel.
Next up is the band artist that made you fall in love with music. For a lot of people, it depends on how young you were at the mm-hmm. time. And for me, it was 9 years old hearing Van Morrison. So what went into your process on this?
So this right here, you know, my parents, obviously, we cleaned up on the weekends. So we were cleaning house, and the music was always playing. And whenever I heard Teddy Pendergrass' voice, his voice, because here I am, a young kid, and I'm trying to get my voice deep, and I want to make sure I got some bass in my voice. And then when Teddy Pendergrass just hit this part right here.
Turn off the light.
I was like, what's he talking about? And then, you know, you're in the house, you're cleaning all the time. And my mom is like in another room, boy, come in here and get this stuff done right quick. And I'm like, Mom, I'm listening to Teddy. And so when Teddy Pendergrass spoke, because remember, he was part of LTD.
Yeah.
And I got a chance to listen to them too, but it was always about Teddy and his voice and the way he presented everything too.
So You could have played LTD's Back in Love Again.
I could have done that, but I just want Teddy.
Okay.
I like, turn off the lights. Turn them off.
Turn off the lights.
What comedy skit is that? Yeah. Oh, my God.
That is Cedric the Entertainer.
Oh, my God.
Right.
That's
right.
So funny.
He said, you just walk over there and turn them lights off when Teddy started hollering at you.
That's it. So you could have played. Okay, so next are there's the band or artist that changed your life.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a variety of answers on this. For Aaron Hogan, for example, it was Dave Matthews Band because he and Nadine were dating at the time.
Yep.
For you, it was Sturgill Simpson.
Johnny Cash.
Oh, Johnny Cash, that's right. Based on, for me, it was the Beatles, obviously. Who was it for you, Snoop? The band or artist that changed your
life?
Oh,
it was Creed because it made me listen to another kind of music.
Creed.
Say what?
He
Creed.
Said Creed.
Creed.
Oh, because it made you listen to,
yeah.
to go outside of your norms.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Snoop, I got you. Snoop has already said he wants a mulligan on his music service.
I would love to do that. Yeah.
So we filed Creed with Nickelback. Now,
in other words,
so,
he wants more than the 6 minutes before airtime to fill it out.
But for you, Mike Harge,
mm-hmm.
the reason you picked this group to change your life.
Oh, that's saying that right. To change my life.
Oh.
No, change my life.
Band or artist that changed my life.
Good.
You should have it right there.
Yeah, I should. I'm so sorry, Harge.
You good? You good? You good?
All right.
I was like, that wasn't it.
No. Here it is right here. I'm sorry, guys. A32. Yeah, here we go.
All right.
Sorry.
So here's the band or artist that changed your life. Now, like I said, you could have played Back in Love Again by LTD when you were talking about Teddy Pendergrass. When I think of Gap Band, I automatically go to You Dropped a Bomb on Me.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
But you're going with Outstanding.
Outstanding, because I was 10 years old when this song came on. And again, I have a big family. Colleen, we used to have barbecues on the weekend. We used to have a lot of family events every single Sunday with my grandmother. And when this song would come on, I would watch everyone just get really turned up. And I was like, man, this song right here has always been in my mind all the time. And even sometimes when I'm driving now, I'll play the Gap Band and I'll keep this song on loop for a little bit. Because, I mean, how can you not be excited and having fun with this song right here? And Charlie Wilson is the truth. Charlie is still singing now.
But I got to ask you, whenever you'd hit a ball out of the ballpark, wouldn't they play You Dropped a Bomb
they
on Me?
They did play You Dropped a Bomb on Me. And then when I came in the pitch, they used to play MC Hammer, You Can't Touch This.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, so there were those four that are kind of grouped together. Now for these last ones, the band or artist that surprised you.
Mm-hmm.
Surprised you. So...
There we go.
What That's surprised right. you about Usher?
Well, because of the fact when he came out, there was like a little buzz about him, but you didn't know what he was going to be. And he was more like, in today's society, he's more like Chris Brown. Everybody talks about him, about his dancing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really talk about the way he sings. And as he's gotten older and he's progressed throughout this music journey of his, vocal arrangement is tighter. The way that people are looking at him, he's one of those guys that Chris Brown even looks up to. So Usher was somebody that you sit there and you're like, okay, I see you, Usher. Because his catalog, too, if you go back and listen to some of those songs, you're like, this dude has really done something, but a lot of people don't really see it.
You know, I found some of the answers to this question pretty fascinating, the reasoning behind it. Who was yours, Jeff, the band or artist that surprised
Sturgill Simpson?
Was Sturgill Simpson. For me, it was Lady Gaga.
Right.
Because of the vocal.
Yeah, I heard you say that.
And for Snoop, your band or artist?
Linkin Park.
Was Linkin Park. I mean, it runs, again.
I got to talk to
Snoop. Nickelback. Just filing in there. Hey, you think that was something.
Yeah.
What's next is the Guilty Pleasure band or artist for Snoop. It was Aqua with Barbie Girl.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. But, you know, Guilty Pleasure band or artist, again, it goes to a tasting. Like, I listed America, and I caught some great people. Said, why would you list them? America's Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, and they're great men. But it's just, you just don't think of them much. How about you with this? I was that... Diana Ross would be a guilty pleasure listen for you.
Because you've seen my list, Craig. Right. Nobody really thinks that I would be sitting around listening to Diana Ross.
Because you were much more contemporary.
That's right, because I'm much more contemporary. I mean, I am a hip-hop junkie to my heart. But I do have a lot of guilty pleasures that I like to kind of, while I'm by myself, I just drive around and doing different things. I'll jump on some Diana Ross quickly. Again, this goes back to my mom. My mom playing music, her days off on the weekends. She would play all kinds of music. We would be doing some housework, but she would play all these different tunes. And the joy that she had with some of these songs kind of led me to this. But I really enjoy Diana Ross and everything that she's ever done.
I worked a Diana Ross concert when this song was a hit.
Oh my gosh.
I was in college selling t-shirts. And
this place went crazy, right? Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. So everybody, the reason why it's my guilty pleasure is because you don't expect to see Hardball Hards riding around listening to Diana Ross.
That's a good point. It's guilty pleasure.
Right.
Can you skate, Harge?
Yes.
Oh, I bet you can skate.
Yeah. Oh, definitely
at
skate.
The roller rink.
That's right. K-Town, man. Harker Heights, baby. Southside.
Two questions remain. The band or artist you should have seen by now.
Usually it goes to
people that they've been fans, it just hasn't worked out. For me, it was Beyonce. I haven't had a chance. Jeff?
Mine was Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney.
I'm running out of time.
Snoop? Yep, quickly.
Smashing Pumpkins.
Snoop, where are we going, man?
Again, Creed, Nickelback, Linkin Park.
And you're from DeSoto?
Yeah, I know.
But you, with your band or artist you should have seen by now, is Frankie Beverly and Maze.
Yes, because they've been here quite a few times. And like what you're saying, you know, my timing is sometimes pretty bad. And every time I think I'm going to something will come up, and I'll end up missing it. My aunts and uncles call me every time they come in town, and I've somehow, some way, I'm not going to see them. And like you, I think I'm running out of time.
Yeah.
So Frankie, Beverly, and Maze is somebody else that you sit there, because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
You got so much to focus on that you really want to take advantage of seeing them in person, and that's a group that I'm mad that I haven't seen yet.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I listed America's Guilty Pleasure. Maybe I should put it under I should have seen by now, because I'm probably running out of time there.
Right.
And maybe just move in Little River Band into Guilty Pleasure or something like that.
Right.
But I've seen them in concert. All right, so the final question is a great band or artist to see live. Now, this artist that we're about to, did you see this band indoor arena or outdoor?
Indoor.
Okay, because obviously they're great wherever they've been. And I mention indoor because they did the soft open for the Moody Center. Were you there for that?
That's when I got a chance to see them for the first time.
Really?
So it was Earth, Wind, and a little flicker because there wasn't much fire left, but they sounded great.
They still sounded great.
They sounded out. Yeah, they weren't all what I thought as far as the group, as far as how many people were going to be there in the band. I mean, their orchestra is unbelievable. They play a lot of instruments in there. But I did get to go to the soft opening, so that was – they would have been somebody that I would have had instead of Frankie Beverly and Maze. I would have put them there. But since I got a chance to see them, I'm glad that I could check it off my list.
Well, that's excellent.
Yeah.
And we're getting to September, you know?
That's right. Here we are. I told Snoop, I said, make sure that that's the song right there, September right there, because we're here.
There it is. That's the music survey as so craftily constructed by Mike Hardball Harge. He'll stay with us a minute. We're going to wrap it up, and we'll come back. We'll light the Tower on the Horn.
Bucky and Aaron.
Some people are saying the true love.
And I was bored, and I'm bored, and I'm bored in the house, bored in the house, bored, bored in the house, bored in the house, bored, bored. I'm bored in the house, bored, and I'm bored in the.
Okay, so Harge did not ask for this. I did out of this.
I'm bored in the house.
This is now. This is Snoop. It's Tyga.
You got it, Tyga.
With
Curtis Roach.
With Curtis Roach. The reason why I know this tune is a couple of weeks ago, I just took a still shot of my dog, a miniature schnauzer, and she's just laying on the couch, and I can tell she's not real happy because I'm not taking her out for a walk. And she's like, and I sent it to a family group text and said, she's so bored. So my daughter takes this song and puts it to her just laying there, and there's two or three different shots.
That's awesome.
And so it's Bored in the House. But if listening to the lyrics of it, and I don't know the background of it, but it sounds like it was done during the pandemic.
Because that definitely would fit perfectly because everybody was bored in the house.
Yeah. Yeah, because he talks about how he if he was outside, he could be doing this, he could be doing that, doing all this stuff, but he's bored in the house. Okay.
I still need to talk to my man Snoop about, was he bored in the house when he was listening to Creed?
Oh, my God.
Or Linkin Park.
This song is also super hot. The movie Bodies, Bodies, Bodies with Pete Davidson, the guy that just broke up with Kim Kardashian.
Uh-huh. So this is in it?
This is very, very popular right now.
Probably the unclean version, right?
For sure.
I'm just going back and looking at the Snoop survey. I don't know anybody else has a variety of the Beastie Boys, Deftones, and the Dixie Chicks all on their same survey.
Yeah. And Aqua.
And Aqua.
And Aqua, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Creed.
I heard of
it.
And Creed.
So maybe what we'll do, because when we did yours, that was 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
We're doing 20
plus,
during the pandemic?
Again, I'm not joking. Snoop did it 6 minutes before the show started.
Sometimes it's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's a more knee-jerk reaction. Yeah.
Definitely that.
Somebody asking if we've seen Bijan Robinson's mustard, the mustardson.
Yeah.
It's gourmet
mustard. Is it
mustard.
Out now? Is it out somewhere now? That's been the biggest thing. Because that picture looks like it's inside of a grocery store.
Yeah, I can see a shopping cart there.
So I want to know where it can be found.
Yeah, maybe it's your local HEB.
Maybe.
We have to go. Somebody said, Craig, no Linkin Park slander. No, I was just listing the bands that Snoop likes.
That's Hybrid Theory, very good album.
Yeah. Very good album.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
Well, I appreciate y'all having me
for the
survey.
Tell us what's coming up on Ball Don't Lie.
Did Rod make it back?
Rod is back. So update on my man Rod B. He made it back.
Did he go up to Idaho again?
No, he did not go to Idaho. He went the other way. He went the other direction. Okay. Got stuck on the tarmac yesterday twice. Got stuck on the tarmac twice because of the bad weather.
Yep.
So he texted us and said, hey, guys, it's on y'all today. So he's back in the house. So we got a lot to catch up on because he missed what was it, Tuesday through Thursday. So he's got a lot that he's going to go through. We're going to talk a lot about this quarterback battle. We're also going to talk about what's next because we're trying to figure out this depth chart like everybody else and who is going to step up at, tomorrow during the scrimmage.
Who are you watching in Major League Baseball these days?
I'm still watching the Astros. I catch a lot of your Dodgers because they were hot. And Craig, I wanted to ask you. Nomar was laughing so hard. I showed Jeff this the other day.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even mention this. We didn't even mention David Basse.
Yeah.
He's really normally the radio post-game show host.
Yes.
But Kirsten Watson was taking a couple of days off, so they put him pressed him in the service on the TV side, and he so wanted to go down the Bernie Brewer slide, and he did. And he slammed into the wall and actually fractured his elbow and broke six ribs doing it. And so the next day, what the Brewers did, they held up signs and went, zero days since last incident. So Justin Turner kind of helped him out. He did a police chalk line on the deal with it. So anyway.
Love it.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks, Mike.
Appreciate it.
Mike Hardball Hards. Stay tuned now. At least the Skins version of Shirts and Skins is up next. Trey Elling will be in. For Man Behind the Glass, our producer, Snoop Daniel, and for my co-host, Jeff Howell, I'm Craig Way. Thanks for joining us. We'll visit with you Monday right here on Light the Tower.